February 19th. The Holy Apostles Archippus, Philemon, and Apphia. Archippus was one of the 70 apostles. The Apostle Paul mentions him in his epistles to the Colossians and to Philemon. And tell Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you received in the Lord, Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, as well as in his letter to Philemon, calling him his fellow soldier in the battle, to Archippus our fellow soldier, Philemon chapter 1, verse 2. In the town of Colossae, the center of Christianity was in the home of Philemon. Here Christians gathered for prayer. In writing to Philemon, the Apostle Paul called this the church at your house, Philemon chapter 1, verse 2. At that time, the apostles ordained their disciples as bishops, some of them in permanent places and others as missionaries, traveling to various places. Philemon was one of the latter. Apphia, Philemon's wife, hosted and served in the domestic church. At the time of a pagan feast to the goddess Artemis, according to their custom, all the faithful in Colossae gathered in the home of Philemon for prayer. The pagans, learning of this gathering, rushed and apprehended all the Christians, Philemon, Apphia, and Archippus, as leaders. At first they were whipped, and afterwards they were buried up to their waists, and they began to stone them. Thus they killed Philemon and Apphia, and Archippus they removed from the pit barely alive, and left him to the amusement of the children. The children pierced him throughout with knives. Thus this fellow soldier in battle ended well in the course of his earthly path. The Venerable Dositheus. Dositheus was a disciple of the glorious Abba Dorotheus, who lived in the Cenobitic monastery community of the Venerables Sertius, John, and Barsanuphius the Great. Dositheus was a kinsman of a general and came to Jerusalem to visit the holy shrines. Once, while he was gazing upon the icon of the dreadful judgment in a church, a woman clothed in purple attire approached him and began explaining the icon to him. Finally, before parting, she said that if you desire to be saved, you should fast, abstain from meat, and pray to God often. That was the all-holy virgin birth-giver of God, the Theotokos. The heart of the young Dositheus became inflamed, and he desired the life of a monk. Dorotheus received him as his novice, Ixunisinic, and ordered him to completely abandon his will and to obey his spiritual father. For a few days he gave him as much as he wanted to eat. After a period of time, Dorotheus cut down his rations by 1/4, and after a period of time again, by 1/4, until Dositheus became accustomed to get by with the least amount of food, always saying to Dositheus, eating is a habit, and as much as a person is accustomed to eat, that much he will eat. He was saved and glorified by total obedience. He remained forever an example of monastic obedience and dedication to his spiritual father. This young saint lived in the 6th century. Hymn of Praise, Obedience.
Obedience without murmuring, salvation complete. Among the spiritual, the first pearl, stone most precious. This pearl from Eve's necklace unraveled, and after it all the goods by God bestowed. The devil speaks both then and now to God, do not listen. Rather, according to the thoughts of your mind, live only. Thus speaks the devil from time immemorial, who detested the light. Thus speaking, the disobedient with his noose he fitted. Christ came to the people, cried out, the obedient he summoned. To every call the disobedient did not respond. The scene of paradise from Christ until now repeats itself. The obedient to paradise is raised. The disobedient falls. To his spiritual father, the true monk is obedient. The father to the church to Christ, her Lord. Obedience, the reliable path toward salvation is. Of the spiritual necklace, the first light, the first pearl.
Reflection. Saint Anthony teaches, just as a man comes forth naked from his mother's womb, so the soul comes forth naked from the body. One soul is pure and bright, the second is soiled by sin, and the third is blackened by many sins. If a body comes forth from a mother's womb unhealthy, it cannot live. And so the soul, if it does not attain the knowledge of God through good behavior, it cannot be saved, neither can it be in communion with God. The organ of bodily sight is the eye. The organ of spiritual sight is the mind. Just as the body is blind without eyes, so the soul is blind without a correct mind and correct life. Contemplation. To contemplate the Lord Jesus in the midst of the common people. How with love he teaches the people as a parent teaches his children. How the common people receive his words, astonished by his works, and glorify God. How even today the common people, free from corruption, receive his words with joy and thanksgiving. Homily. About testing. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones, and the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? St. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. This is how the householder of both the material and spiritual world speaks. Material wealth he calls small, and the spiritual wealth he calls great. To whomever material wealth is given and proves himself to be selfish, hard-hearted, arrogant, unmerciful, and godless, to him spiritual wealth cannot be given. For if he is unfaithful in small things, he will be unfaithful in great things. When he is unfaithful in the physical, he will be unfaithful in the spiritual. Man undergoes a test in a foreign world, and if he passes the test, he will gain his own world. If, however, he fails the test, who will give him his world? Man's true world, his homeland, is the heavenly, sublime, divine world. The earthly world, however, is the world of coarseness and deterioration, a foreign world for man. But man is sent into this foreign world to complete a test for that, his true world, for his heavenly homeland. Both expressions of the Savior, however, are similar in meaning. Oh, how profound and true is their meaning! Just as light disperses darkness, so do these words of the Savior disperse our confusion in relation to that. Why are we sent into this life? And what should we do? Whoever is able to read with a pure understanding, to him everything is said in these two sentences. Therefore, let us know that God will not bestow the spiritual gifts, the gift of understanding, nor the gift of faith, nor the gift of love, nor the gift of purity, nor the gift of prophecy, nor the gift of miracle working, nor the gift of authority over demons, nor the gift of discernment, nor the gift of the vision of the heavenly world to him who has gambled and used these gifts for evil, as did the prodigal son, with the gifts of bodily health, or earthly riches, or glory and position among men, or knowledge of the material world, or some other skill or ability. O Lord most gentle, sustain our fidelity toward you in that which you have entrusted to us. To you be glory and thanks always. Amen.